This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. My next guest is Lisa Ling. She spent several years sitting at the desk with Barbara Walters and the rest of the panel on The View, and then went off to do documentaries, including a terrific series called Our America for Oprah Winfrey's network, OWN. She has just started the fourth season of that show and joins me now to talk about that and much more. Lisa Ling, welcome to America Weekend.
Thank you so much for having me.
So you're starting your fourth season, and you've announced it's your final season of Our America.
Yes.
Why are you hanging
yes.
it up?
Well, it has been such an incredible journey doing Our America, and people have been so gracious about letting me into their lives and in their worlds. But after 44 episodes, you know, I felt like it was time to move on. And so starting this fall, I will have a new show on CNN that will follow Anthony Bourdain.
Oh, cool. Also based mostly on international stories, you think?
You know, it will be mostly domestic, but there will be some shows in which I will visit other countries.
I ask because I know you've done mostly or a lot of international reporting in your career. I'm curious what you think about how the media in general handles non-U.S. stories.
Well, not very well. In fact, I actually don't think the media in general handles most domestic stories, domestic news stories, that is. You know, even though we have so many television news networks and so many news outlets, you know, when you really stop and think about it, how often are we really offered substantive reporting that isn't opinion? You know, most shows these days consist of people just yelling at each other, you know, someone who's an arch conservative and someone who's an ardent liberal, and they just fight it out and call that news. And I really don't think that our news outlets do a really good job of reporting substantive stories, and I think that's really unfortunate.
You would think that with networks that are on the air 24/7 that they might find some time for real stories, but you're right. It's all about panels and opinions.
Yeah, and there's an assumption that young people, or people in general in America, don't care about what's happening in the world. But, you know, then you have a show like Vice on HBO, which has a massive young following, and they're covering far-flung stories in the world. And so I'm glad that exists for people, but I think it just, you know, and my show has always done well on OWN. And my show, you know, this season alone, we're covering the explosion of ADHD diagnoses amongst kids. We're covering, we're doing a story about rampant gun violence in Philadelphia, about the spread of HIV in the African-American community. We do an amazing episode about the largest foster care system in this country. And so, you know, we are fortunate that we've been able to do substantive stories, and people have come. You know, our ratings have always been really solid, and I think that means that there is a desire and a hunger for more substantive reporting in this country.
Speaking of gun violence, we're a week removed from this guy, Elliot Rogers, shooting up Isla Vista, California, at the University of California at Santa Barbara campus. And the show that you have coming up on Our America in Philadelphia is about people who are trying to stop gun violence in their own community. What are they doing?
Well, it's pretty amazing what they've done or what they're doing in Philadelphia. And it actually, I believe, is producing results. And, you know, it's a very different kind of violence than what happened in Santa Barbara, in that these are entire communities that are plagued by gun violence. And I think one of the reasons is it's so bleak in North Philadelphia. The schools are closing. There are no areas for young people to play. It's dangerous. And so young people who are growing up without fathers, fathers who are around because they're such a massive prison population, you know, they feel like a gun gives them power and allows them to be somebody. And you know, that's why there is so much gun violence in a place like Philly, but it's hardly ever reported in national news because, you know, the perpetrators aren't, you know, middle-class or upper-middle-class Caucasian shooters and going in and shooting up schools and so on. But what's happening in Philly is the community is taking action, and these former gangbangers and former, you know, thugs are saying, you know, we want to take our streets back. We're sorry that we messed up these streets. We want to be the ones on the front lines to try and change things. And so every time there's a gun, you know, there's a shooting, this group of ex-felons will descend upon a community and start passing out flyers and inviting people to become part of their movement. And it's a really inspiring thing that's happening within communities in Philadelphia. You know, the new attorney general there also is trying to take gun ownership head on. She's going to have a really hard fight because people are very passionate about their guns. But this kind of collective effort is really showing to have some progress in Philly, and they've had a pretty big reduction in gun violence over the last year.
Sounds like people who have been there who are trying to tell their own story and get involved in others and try to make an impression on particularly young people. Don't follow our path. Don't go down this path with guns.
Yeah, and you know, it's so important to recognize that in communities that are blighted, where young men don't have opportunities, you know, having a gun gives them this feeling of power and feeling that they are somebody. You know, and we need to replace that. You know, we need young people to believe that being educated or having opportunities gives you an even greater sense of power. You know, I mean, that's something that has to be repeated all over this country.
Speaking of opportunities, one of your first opportunities in television was at an outfit called Channel One. And I just actually checked this morning to see that they're still doing this, providing news services to school systems all around the country. And I know this is something that you and Anderson Cooper at CNN have in common. Were you at Channel One at the same time?
We were. In fact, Anderson and I shared an office together.
And what you were doing there was trying to condense major stories down to less time than you would even get on a regular network newscast, right?
Yes, but we were out covering news. And so we would do a series. For example, I was 21 years old when I covered the Civil War in Afghanistan. And so even though every day the segments were about 6 minutes long, 5 to 6 minutes long, sometimes 12 minutes, we would do a chunk every single day. So cumulatively, that could have been a 20, 30-minute series that would run about what was going on in Afghanistan. So even though the stories were condensed day to day, we covered show. Anderson Cooper was on the front lines of the genocide in Rwanda, covering the conflict in Somalia. We were these young kids who were all over the world covering really substantial stories, and the audience loved it, you know, and that's where both he and I and the others at Channel One really, you know, got this urge to want to tell stories to a bigger audience.
And by the way, this was pre-9/11 Afghanistan. This was the Taliban is running the country, and it's getting very ugly, especially for women. How was it for you as a 21-year-old woman to go into that environment?
Well, the first time I went to Afghanistan, I'd been about three times. It was even pre-Taliban. And the story that I was covering was basically about how the U.S. had poured billions of dollars worth of the highest tech weaponry into Afghanistan to fight the Soviet Union, and how those weapons actually, you know, provoked a civil war in the end. And so the United States had played a very big role, but nobody was talking about it. And so here I'm at this show that's seen in schools talking about this story. I mean, that's a story that our news, you know, our adult news should have been and should still be covering today.
Absolutely right. I also have to ask you about another big influence in your life, because a couple of weeks ago you went back for the Barbara Walters farewell ceremony. She, of course, put you on The View, and you spent several years with her there. What kind of influence was she on your career?
One of the greatest influences on me. I mean, and not just on my career. You know, Barbara is such a pioneer and sacrificed so much in her personal life. And, you know, knowing how ambitious I always have been, Barbara has always been adamant about telling me, Lisa, I know you're ambitious, but don't neglect your personal life. You know, get married, have a child, and really, really don't sacrifice those things. And you know what? I'm so glad she gave me that advice, because it was profound. And my daughter, who's just over a year old, has just had the most profound impact on me.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on Jet, who looks healthy in the pictures that I've seen. And you seem very happy being a mom and also with the new season of Our America with Lisa Ling, which airs Thursdays on OWN and reruns many times during the week. And in the fall, we'll have a brand new show on CNN. I look forward to that, and I've enjoyed your work. Thanks for joining me here today.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Lisa Ling with Paul Harris on America Weekend.